And this evening, as I mentioned, we will have a little shorter of a message this evening. We have three update videos to have the opportunity to watch. I want to look really at verses 13 through 17 this evening. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's a familiar passage. In fact, a couple of verses from this passage of Scripture are extremely familiar to us and verses of Scripture that we hold dear. In fact, verses that we've probably, many of us, committed to memory. And really, as we look at the passage this evening, I would look at those, verse 13 and verse 17, as being really bookends to the message this evening, and two wonderful promises that we find in these two bookends. Notice the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." As we think about the passage of Scripture that is before us, of course, the emphasis, the focus this evening from our perspective will be that on missions. We're going to look at these mission videos and have the opportunity to see how God is working and what God is doing in various parts of the world, and the privilege that we have as a local assembly to be involved in what God is doing globally. We understand that the Great Commission has been given. We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, before He ascended up into heaven, He gave that great commission, and He said that we're to go into all the world and we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We find that as you read it in the book of Acts, and very interesting as you look at the passage there in Acts chapter number 1, as Jesus gives that great commission and then the ascension is recorded, and you find that no doubt the impact of what the angel said to those disciples that were there that observed the ascension of Jesus Christ had a great impact on them, fulfilling those last words that they heard from Jesus Christ, and those words that were to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and were to be witnesses. And the idea that we're to be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the idea of that both, when He uses that terminology, is at the same time. And so as we're reaching our Jerusalem, we are to be engaged in seeing the rest of the world reached. And I'm thankful for the modern aspect of missions. Of course, as you read through the book of Acts and you see the gospel going out, and you find that really until Acts chapter number 8, when you're looking at all of that which is taking place, you see the gospel in Jerusalem, and you see the church in Jerusalem, and it's growing, but the persecution is intensifying. And in Acts chapter number 8, the Bible speaks of a scattering. And when it speaks of that scattering, it tells us that they went everywhere preaching the Word. And what a blessing to think about the persecution and the intent of the enemy to stop the gospel from going forward. But through that disbursement, if you will, through that the group of people that are in Jerusalem being spread abroad, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. You get to Acts chapter number 13, and you have the opportunity to read of the first missionary journey, and you find that in Acts chapter number 13, the church at Antioch, what a great church, and they're ministering and they're serving, and God is using them. And God says through His Holy Spirit to separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. And you find that in Acts chapter number 13 is that first missionary journey, and the men of God that God called for that journey, they went to the region of Galatia. There were four churches that were established on that first missionary journey. And as those four churches were established, you find that the book of Galatians would later be written to the churches that are in the region of Galatia. And you find that you receive further insight as to what God did and how God worked. But while they were out doing the work of the ministry, while they were out planting churches and preaching the gospel, there was a church, the church in Antioch, that was the sending church, if you will, that had the responsibility of reaching Antioch. Yes, one of the regions that was, or cities that was reached in that first missionary journey was Antioch in Pisidia, a different Antioch. And we find that the church is there, and at the end of that journey, Paul returns, and they have this great reunion and rejoicing of all that God has done and how God has worked. Now, they didn't have the opportunity to send back information and data the way that we do today, and the technology that exists, and just up-to-date updates that we're able to receive, and urgent prayer requests. And I mean, I'm thankful for technology. And there's some things about technology I don't like a whole lot, but I'm thankful for the opportunities to be able to know what's going on. And for these missionaries that we support, they're not always able to come home and report to us and show us pictures. Of course, when they come on furlough, we try to get them scheduled in. We have the opportunity to see these update videos. It's encouraging. Because you get to see how God is answering your prayers. You get the opportunity to see how God is using your dollars. As we collectively give to the work of missions, we have the opportunity to support all of these missionaries that God has graciously enabled us to support, and to see that the work is going forward. Listen, God is working globally. It is absolutely exciting to see what God is doing. I understand sometimes we can get under it here in America, and you can see all of the difficulties that we face and all of the hardships, and they're trying to stamp out God and His Word and all of those things, and the pushback and the opposition, but God is working. He's working here in America, and we get to see that, and what a blessing. But man, when you begin to see what God is doing globally, it's exciting. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I've titled the message this evening, "How Shall They Preach Except They Be Sent?" Of course, you see that in verse number 15. I want to look just for a moment at these bookend promises, if you will, in verse 13 and verse number 17. And then I want to look at the questions that are asked in between. Notice this truth in verse number 13. What a precious promise this is. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that wonderful? Are you thankful for that promise? I remember when I first heard the gospel, I remember when I first was exposed to the truth of God's Word, that somebody showed me this verse of Scripture. And they said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And they said something like this, and I've said it hundreds of times as I've spoken to people over the years. I've said that word "whosoever," that means anybody. That means any human being. If you're alive and breathing, you're a whosoever. Aren't you thankful for that? And I've encouraged people over the years to put your name in there. Take out the "whosoever" and put your name. Because if you, and have the person say their name, if you call upon the name of the Lord, it says that you shall be saved. Now, we like the word "shall." It's an old English word, but it's a word of certainty. It doesn't say that you might be saved. It doesn't say that you could be saved. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a promise that God Almighty has given us. And we think about this precious promise of Romans 10 and verse number 13, and we understand this evening how grateful we are to know that promise. Many of us, again, have the ability to quote this verse of Scripture. Many of us, someone has encouraged us to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Perhaps even we've gone through some outreach classes and they've encouraged us to commit to memory some verses from the book of Romans, and sometimes we call it the Romans Road, and memorize these verses of Scripture, and this is one of them. And again, we have it in our minds and we're familiar with it and we hear it often. And what a precious promise it is. I'm so thankful that I'm a whosoever. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to hear the gospel. And that when I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He saved my soul. What a blessing. But look at verse number 17, another great promise. One, again, that we are very familiar with. One that we have committed to memory. One that we've often rehearsed and recited. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Have you ever heard somebody say, "I just don't have enough faith"? Received a phone call not long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, and the person on the other end of the phone said, "I just don't have any faith, preacher." And I asked this question. I said, "How's your time in God's Word?" I don't ask that to be unkind, but the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you have acknowledged and admitted that you have no faith, that your faith is small, that your faith is weak, you need to get into the book. Amen? So that our faith would be increased. We find that the Word of God increases our faith as we go through and read the pages of Scripture, how it encourages us and how it reveals to us the nature and character of our God, that He is the Lord God omnipotent, that He rules and that He reigns and that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And when we think about the truth of God's Word and His nature and character revealed to us, it increases our faith and it causes us to trust Him and to depend upon Him, that He is the God of the impossible. The just, the Bible tells us, are to live by faith. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter number 11, that great hall of faith chapter, a chapter that we cherish, a chapter in which you go to and you see, so by faith, you fill in the character, Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and you fill it in and you see all of these great accomplishments because the people of God took God at His Word. But in verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter number 11, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we have to have faith. That faith comes from this precious book. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. Right? Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. We understand that it's not a works salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm thankful for salvation entirely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it was dependent upon you, or if it was dependent upon me, we'd mess it up. Amen? If I could lose it, I'd have lost it. And so would you. But the reality is that these two precious promises, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Precious promises for us as the people of God. Bookend promises, if you will, for this short passage of Scripture. But I want you to notice the questions that are given in between. The questions that are given in between are really important questions. Questions that we must not skim over. Questions that we must allow to impact us. It says in verse number 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? But then it says this, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? When you look at verse number 14, there are three questions that are asked in this verse of Scripture. And if we take it and look at what's happening, we understand that they're not going to call on Him in whom they've not believed. They're not going to believe in Him of whom they have not heard. Right? How are you going to believe in Jesus if you've not heard of who Jesus is? Is that fair? We understand that, correct? We can't expect someone that's never heard the name of Jesus Christ, that does not know the gospel, that has had their minds blinded by the God of this world, to call out and trust Christ as their Savior. If we look at this in reverse order in verse number 14, the reality is, how are they going to hear without a preacher? A preacher shows up, a missionary. These missionaries that we're going to look at these videos this evening, and many missionaries that we support. And I was speaking with someone just yesterday, actually, about one of our missionaries in a field that is a brand new field. And it is a hard work. I mean, the ground is hard. It needs to be prepared. It needs to be turned, the soil, right? I mean, it is a difficult work, and it's a difficult place. But someone needs to go. Because how are those people going to hear without a preacher? And if they don't hear, then they can't believe in Him because they've not heard of Him. And if they can't believe in him, then they're not going to call on him. And you read that great precious promise in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many whosoevers aren't calling because they've never heard? Right? It continues in verse number 15. Notice it says this, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Really, as we think about this and using it as the title this evening and looking at verse number 15 and understanding the work of missions and understanding, as I've mentioned already in Acts chapter number 13, where they're sent out from that church. And yes, they're called by the Lord, and God Almighty places a call upon the lives of these individuals, but they're sent out. And how shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord Jesus Christ sent out witnesses, did he not? He sent them two by two. And you find that they were sent, and you find that in Acts 13 they were sent, and you find that as we look at modern missions, if you will, and you begin to think about the mission work that takes place, and you see how that they are sent, and we desire to hold the ropes and be behind them and pray for them and try to encourage them and, yes, give so that they can have the financial resources that are necessary in order to go and to preach in those particular areas. You understand in many countries of the world, in fact, many of our missionaries, I've chatted with them personally, the countries in which they serve, not all of them, but a majority of them, you are not permitted to enter into the country unless you can prove that you have enough financial backing that you will not be dependent upon their society. Before you can ever get any entrance into the country, you must be able to prove that you're not going to take any of the jobs that are supposed to be for their people of that country. That's how it works. I know it doesn't work that way in America. I understand that. But that's how it works in a lot of these countries where these missionaries serve. Because the countries are saying, no, we don't want you to come here and take a job that could be for someone from a national. And so the only way we're going to grant you permission to come here is if you have the financial wherewithal to sustain yourself independent of anything that you would receive from our country. So that's why missionaries go to all these churches and try to raise support. Brother Michael told us about a brand new missionary this morning. I don't know the fellow. I've never heard of the fellow until I read the email last week from Brother Hamilton. But what a blessing to think about a new servant of the Lord that God called that's going to go out and raise support. And when we pick these missionaries up for support, it's more than just that we're going to send them money monthly. That's part of it. That's how today in our modern society and the cultures and the climate in which we must deal, that's how they have to go. But it's so much more than just money. Every missionary that I know, every missionary that's on our board, they would tell you, as they have told me, and many of them have stood on this platform and they've said it publicly, more than your money, we need your prayers. Now, they need the money. If they don't have the money, they can't go. I've already explained that. But oh, how they need the prayers of God's people. That's why we have these missionary directory booklets that we put together. And that's why we update those. That's why Deborah spent time to put the format together, and we pay to have them print it to get a resource into the hands of the members of our church and the attenders of our church. Why? So that we can pray for our missionaries. I sent out that email on Thursday evening about Brother De Carvalho, and I got a response from one of our members on Friday morning saying, you know, God put him on my heart yesterday. And I was praying for him in the afternoon. I don't know why God put him on my heart, but I was praying for him. And they were going to send an email to Mrs. De Carvalho to try to encourage her. As soon as I received the email, I responded to Mrs. De Carvalho. I wanted to alert the church family. Why? So that we can pray. Why? Because God answers prayer. And we think about the opportunity that we have. We understand, how shall they preach except they be sent, that we have this privilege of being part of that sending process. Being one of those churches that is partnered together with these missionaries to see them go to the place where God has called them. And then as they go, what do they go to do? They go to preach. They go to preach the gospel. And then all of a sudden, people that have never heard, in verse number 14, the last question, they now have a preacher. And the preacher comes in and he begins to preach. They've never heard this message. They've been blinded by the religious world system. They've been blinded by the culture in which they're living. They have state religious organizations and state-run, government-run churches and all of these fields and all of the darkness and the blindness. And a preacher shows up, begins to preach. Why? Because he's been sent. The family's been sent. And now the preaching of, let me tell you who God is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. Let me tell you how much God loves you. And begin to preach. And the Bible tells us that now, as you think about them having a preacher, now they can hear. And now that they hear, remember verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now they're hearing. The faith is there. The Bible tells us in verse number 14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, now they're hearing, so now they can believe. What is faith? Believing. Believing. And so now, obviously, I wish 100% of the people that heard the gospel got saved. We know that's not the case. In fact, I told an individual yesterday, I cannot say it in the same way that the Apostle Paul said it in Acts chapter number 20, that I'm free from the blood of all men. I can't say that. And I believe that he looks at that from the parallel truth in the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel being a watchman and so on and so forth in chapter 3, and then I think in chapter 33. And you find there, but I told this individual, I said, listen, I just want you to know that personally between you and I can say that your blood is not on my hands. I have given you the truth of the gospel. And I have explained it to you the best of my ability, and I've shown you the Word of God, I've answered your questions. The choice is yours, the decision is yours, but I have a clear conscience. I have done what God has called me to do. They don't always believe on whom they have heard, but now they have the opportunity to believe. Now the preaching of the Word of God, now they've heard who Jesus is. And it says, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? But you notice the truth of verse 13, and what a blessing when these missionaries have the opportunity to see souls saved, lives changed, because they went to a place because they were sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? Because God's moved and worked in your heart and my heart to give of our resources, understanding that God has blessed us. All that we have is because of the good hand of God. Amen? All that we have is because of God. And that He would privilege us, He would allow us not only to give of our tithes and our offerings, but to give to the work of missions. And to take a portion of what God has blessed us with and say, I'm going to designate for mission work that these funds, I'm going to take time and pray for these missionaries. Paul said this in the book of Philippians. Turn over there, if you will, Philippians chapter number 4. And I want you to notice, and I'm going to close with this thought, because we have the opportunity. How shall they preach except they be sent? That we have the opportunity because of your giving and because of our giving collectively to support these missionaries. And they're going, and souls are being saved and lives are being changed. I want you to notice that Paul is speaking at the end of the book of Philippians, and he's speaking about how the church at Philippi had communicated with him, how they had given to him an offering once and again. Notice in verse number 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Isn't that a blessing? The church of Philippi, they were investing in something beyond themselves. They said, we want to invest in this. We want to be part of this. The Bible tells us that Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but notice this, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know, there are going to be some people in heaven that we're never going to meet on this earth. But there's a missionary that we pray for, that we give to, that's preached the Word of God because they've been sent. And people have heard, and people have believed, and people have called, people have been saved, and it's fruit It's fruit on our account. Isn't that amazing? That's how God's designed it to be. And we're co-laborers together with God. And what a blessing. Paul continues and says, "But I have all and abound," in verse 18, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." God is pleased with this giving of the church of Philippi. He's pleased with their investment in the work that God has called Paul to. And then notice this great promise, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's a promise that we can claim. As we have the opportunity to see these videos this evening, I hope that you're encouraged about the work of missions, the opportunity that we have as a local church. Yes, we have a missions conference. It's coming up in May. I love missions. I love missionaries. I love the privilege of being able to receive these reports, and every week having at least four updates, one that Brother Michael provides us with on Sunday morning, three on Wednesday evenings on our prayer bulletin. Man, it's encouraging. I hope that we never get bored with hearing what God is doing and how God is working. Because how are they going to preach except they be sent? And unless we in churches like ours give and pray, the work's not going on. They're not getting there. And people aren't calling on because they've not heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great opportunity, a great privilege. So I hope tonight as we watch these videos that you're encouraged, that you have the privilege of seeing your missions dollars at work. Amen? So let's pray, and then we're going to look at these videos. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege of being involved in world missions. I thank you for our church. Lord, the heart of our church family, to give to the work of missions, God, to pray for our missionaries. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to use our church. We thank you for the many, many missionaries that you give us the opportunity to support. This evening, as we take a few moments to look at these videos, I pray that you'd encourage us. I pray, God, that if there'd be one that maybe you'd call to the ministry, to the work of missions, that you'd place your call upon their life, that, Lord, they'd respond in obedience. Perhaps, Lord, we've not been as faithful in giving to missions. Perhaps we've not been as faithful in praying for our missionaries. God, would you help us to increase more and more in these areas? Again, we ask that you'd encourage us. Help us to rejoice in that which you're doing. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.